Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to two passages of Scripture while you're standing this evening. John, the 14th chapter, verses 21 through 23, and then Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verses 20, 19 and 20. Revelation 3, 19 and 20, and we'll begin with John 14, we'll start in verse 19. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest or show or reveal myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And then in Revelation 3, verses 19 and 20, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. You may be seated. Let us seek the Lord's blessing upon his word together. O Lord our God, we praise you for your covenant and that you have drawn near to us in a promise-laden, Christ-centered, mercy-dripping relationship, in which, as our confession says, you condescended. You, as it says in Psalm 113, humble yourself to behold what happens on the earth. And we thank you that you have supremely humbled yourself in your Son, and that you, Lord Jesus, in our nature, in our flesh, humbled yourself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Bless us now as we look at these portions of Scripture. Help us to wisely apply them. We need your help. Not one of us has all the answers. We need your encouragement. We would see our children in fulfillment of your great covenant that I'll be a God to you and to your children after you, down through their generations. We would see our children walking with you and loving the Savior and devoting themselves to him. We ask that you would bring that about in your great goodness. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So we began a few weeks ago talking about how that God has made a covenant promise with us, that I'll be a God to you and to your children after you down through your generations. This is the way he relates to us, a covenant, which is a bonded relationship. He makes promises to us. The condition is faith, that we believe his promises. And so secondly, we said that we as parents, one of the main things that we need to think about foundationally is walking by faith in the promise of God. Because as the apostle says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So one of the first things we need to arm ourselves with as Christian parents is God's promises and believing those promises and walking in their light. Now, Jesus Christ is the center of the covenant. He's kept the condition, which is obedience. God never said you don't have to obey me anymore. It's just when you and I lost the ability to obey God, God in his mercy sent his Son who obeyed in our place. This is so critical. We need to make much of the active obedience of Christ. We cannot make reparations for our sins. We cannot provide atonement for our sins. Only Christ can, and he is the center of the covenant of grace. In Isaiah 42, 6, he's called the covenant. I've given him, says Yahweh, to be a covenant of the people, which is leading us to where we are now in terms of looking at Christ in our homes. What makes our homes different? How can we invite Jesus into our home? Now, I didn't just make this up. If you look in John 14, 21 through 23, you'll see the language here is not of what Jesus isn't saying, well, if you obey me enough, then you'll become a Christian and you'll be saved. This isn't a question. He's not talking here about what we would call justification. He's talking here about the disciples' ongoing fellowship with him, that knowing Jesus Christ is not like he's in this box, and then once we've got the box, we put the box in our pocket and move on to do other stuff we want to do. No, there's a relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ establishes with us in a covenant, friendly, loving. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. He's the vine, we're the branches. He's the husband, we're the wife. And notice he speaks here very plainly in connection to loving me. He who has, verse 21 of John 14, he who has my commandments keeps them, and he loves me. He who loves me, my Father will love him, and I will love him and will show myself to him. And then he adds to that, not Judas Iscariot, asks the question, Lord, how are you going to show yourself to us and not to the world? He's thinking perhaps of a visible manifestation instead of what Jesus says here. He repeats it, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. God's covenant, God's a speaking God. Our fellowship with him was in the beginning was what? He comes and he speaks with us. He talks with us. We were made to hear his voice. When we have God's word, the strings of our heart sing the tune that they're supposed to, because we were made to hear God's voice. And so Jesus says here, if you love me, you'll keep my words. My Father will love, and we will come and make our home with him. Now, of course, that raises the question, wait a minute, are there believers that Jesus doesn't come and make his home with? I'm not sure that that's where we need to run with this. Instead, that what he's saying here is there's a connection between my grace in your life, you loving me and receiving my word, and then the outflow of that in terms of greater fellowship with me, because Jesus isn't a statue we carry around in our pocket. He's not a creed that we recite once and then we're done. He is a living person. And just like the people in your life, you don't put your husband in your pocket and say, yep, there he is, he's in the box, okay, I don't need to deal with him anymore. At least I hope you don't. Or you don't say to your wife, yep, that's who she is, she's in the box, I don't have to deal with her anymore. Okay, we may treat each other like this, but you can't treat Christ like this. At least if you want to know him and grow with him, because it's a relationship of loving him, obeying him, and then the blessings of him coming and dwelling with us. Now in Revelation 3, to piggyback on that idea, he's writing there to a disobedient church that's really struggling. The church of Laodicea, lukewarm. Maybe you find yourself lukewarm tonight. What do you do about that? Can you give yourself CPR? Can you give yourself a heart defibrillation and get it going again? Well, Jesus says, if you hear my voice, open the door. And I will come in and I will dwell with you. I will sup with you. Fellowship can be restored. And so the thing that really distinguishes is, as we think about parents and God's covenant, his promises, the thing that distinguishes Christian homes is more than just a dress code or the words we say or what we watch and we don't watch. All those things are fruits of that. But the central thing is that Christ dwells with us. He wants, in this covenant relationship with us, it's not this sterile, cold thing. It's the presence of Christ with us by the Holy Spirit, so that as we walk in his fellowship and in his obedience, he makes his home with us. And that can be true of your home and my home, the home of our congregation, the home of your individual soul. Now, 2 weeks ago when we started this, we looked at worship. And we looked at living as justified people in our homes. Because there's two fundamental things. There's actually four. But the first two fundamental things of Jesus is the Son of God. So in our homes, we must worship him. We must bring him in through worship. And second, to take seriously the gospel in terms of how we think about our children, relate to each other. Tonight, I want to look at two more in this, in terms of opening our home to the Lord Jesus. And it's really more honed in now on what he says here in these two verses, and that is abide in his word. Now again here, this isn't just a sermon, a brief homily about reading the Bible. Let's really deep dive for a little bit about how having Bible-centered homes, Jesus word-centered homes, brings him into our home. We've got these verses here in John 14, but there's others. Just look on the same page, chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. I'm the true vine, my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, who is Jesus, neither can you unless you abide in me. What does all this mean? Vine, branches, abiding. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in him and I abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Go back to John 8, verse 31 and 32, or you can just listen. I know you know these verses. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Maybe on this just first introductory point, just be reminded for a second that the principle of the kingdom is that as we abide in the words of Jesus, as we think about his word, meditate upon his word, pray his word back to him, we grow. Acts 12:24, the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 19:24, the word of God grew and prevailed. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. The parable of the soils in Matthew 13, that the soil that received the word and was prepared bore fruit. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. The dynamic of life with Christ is growth. He is a living person. He cannot be restrained. He is not tied down to our expectations. He does not know in one sense that it's 2021 and the secularists have overrun the land. What he knows is he is the reigning king and lamb. And if you abide in his word and hold fast to it, it is the way you and your family will grow. It's an absolute promise of Scripture, which means our families need to be organized around reading the Bible. Kids get older, they have work schedules. Great. It may mean we have to get real creative. And daddies are going to get their zeal from you. Okay, we got to get up, son, at 6 before you go to work. Daddy, I don't want to get up at 6. Well, did you stay up late till midnight to watch movies? Okay, and play games and tweet yourself to death? Okay, no offense, but then we can get up and we can pray together and we can read Scripture, because the only thing that protects and defends the Christian family is not parental control. That doesn't last very long. It's not tradition. It is the living Christ as we abide in his word together as families. That is the principle of growth, and also the way he dwells with us. Now, you can't always see the fruits of this, admittedly. And that's why even Judas, there, not Iscariot, asked the question, "Lord, how are you going to show yourself to us and not to the world?" I mean, there's a sowing and a reaping principle here. Parents, as you're faithful in the present, daddies with your sons and daughters, mamas with your sons and daughters, reading the Scriptures, you are what? Being faithful in the present. You're asking the Lord Jesus to bless your efforts and watering them with prayer, and you are trusting God for the future. Why? Isaiah 55:11, every parent needs to memorize this verse and think about it often. Daily, because you are God's custodian for a brief period of time of souls that belong to him. And so as you're seeking to abide in Christ and bear fruit, you need that encouragement. Keep believing God's word. Keep using God's word. Why? Because it works. No, sometimes it doesn't work. Okay, sometimes it doesn't work at all, okay? Sometimes it makes things even harder, it can, for the short term, because as you try to obey, you get the forces of hell arrayed against you. But here's the promise, Isaiah 55:11. We can begin reading in verse 10. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void," a word that means empty or fruitless, "but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So you can't see it sometimes. Sometimes you don't feel like it. I feel too guilty to read the Bible today. You know what? God knew you were going to feel guilty. Okay, and he still gave you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so there's a sense when we're back to our second lesson. We're using God's Word. You mean this dusty old Bible. You mean everybody's laughing at it and people are watching movies right now and we're sitting here talking about an old book. God says, my Word will not return to me fruitless. It will not return fruitless in your family. It will not return fruitless in your life. And you have to hear, parent, the voice of Jesus. If you continue in my word, you will be my disciples. If you love me and keep my word, of course, by the power of the Savior, I will come and make my home with you, and I will dwell with you, and my word will never fail. Hold on to that promise. Believe and trust that promise from God. Secondly, make sure, turn to Deuteronomy 6. Maybe some practical ways. The scriptures are filled with examples of ways we can do this. Again, not in huge detail or specific detail, but enough to give us direction that the way we grow in Christ is by abiding in the Word. So in your home, spread that Word. Now here's the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, O Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 6, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You get the idea. God's Word, immersive in our lives. We're walking by the wayside, daddy's mamas. We're taking a walk around the neighborhood, going to hike in North Georgia. Find some ways. We're going to talk about God's Word. But again, here, what that assumes, what? It assumes you're in it. You're meditating on God's Word. You're loving God's Word. And then you're speaking of it naturally when you lie down. We need set times of worship in our family, but we also need non-set times. Or it's just normal for us to talk about, whether it's the sermon or the Sunday school lesson. You hear great Sunday school teachers here. And we're talking about these things. And we are bringing God's Word to bear in the lives of our family. Share from your own reading. Make it interesting. Learn how to tell the Bible stories that are everybody's favorite back with personal interest in your life. Ask questions. Ask your children, why is this important? Why do we need God's Word? Why, son, daughter, why do we, when so many families, it seems like, are chaotic because of unbelief, why do we read the Bible? Daddy, why do you open the Bible? Son, do you know why Daddy opens the Bible? Daughter, do you know why I'm opening the Bible to talk with you about modesty issues or these kinds of things? It's because we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what Satan wants to do is plug our ears and say, God hadn't really said it. He doesn't really mean it. It's not really important. The fruit is beautiful for the appearance, and it will make you wise, and it's good for food. So don't listen to God's opinion. His is not the only opinion out there. The Christian says here, following Moses, who was God's faithful servant in the old covenant. Notice, parents, bind them on your eyes. Write Bible verses on the walls of your home. I'm not going to do that. That'll ruin the paint, okay? Well, I mean, it all depends on how serious you are about scriptures. There's not a whole lot more you can leave your children that's really worth leaving eternally than a love for Christ and a love for the Bible. And those two things go hand in hand. Because if you continue in Christ's Word, then you're truly His disciples. Let me also add one other thing here in terms of abiding in the words of Jesus. Obey them. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And this is in our homes. Again, we're talking about children, so the husband-wife relationship comes into this as well. But you've got to obey the Word. I mean, you know, you can sit here and read the Bible and then completely undo the lesson because your parents, your children, watch you, husband, speak in a demeaning way to your wife. Or see you, mother, wife, you know, complain and grumble. We got to make sure that we're doing this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Ephesians 5:22, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And then he goes on, 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. You're like, what's the connection here? Well, abiding in Jesus' word brings growth, okay? Deuteronomy 6, spread that word over your whole life and family and talk about it and all of its details. And third, make sure you're obeying it in the fundamental relationships so that your children can see the joy of, well, this isn't just a formal thing we do on Sundays, or, you know, our family, we have a Bible time, but then everybody goes and just does what they want to do, and my mama, she's not happy with my daddy. And if you're at odds with each other, mom and dad, your children know it more than likely. And one of the best things you can do to show the reality of your consecration to Christ and love for the Scripture is obey. Daddies, if you have trouble with cursing, you need to ask God to forgive you. If you have trouble drinking and your children know, hey, Friday, Daddy gets a little bit happy with the bottle, you need to ask God to forgive you for being drunk with wine and set an example of obedience. If you speak in a demeaning way about your wife, if you make critical comments about her in public in front of the children, if you carry out arguments against her, you need to ask God to forgive you. Because on the one hand, you're saying, here's God's word, but on the other hand, I don't keep it. And so your life is preaching a sermon that's against the sermon that you're reading out of Scripture. Same thing with the wives. It's very important. You think, well, I thought just having them was enough. I thought if my quiver was full, if I had, 14 children or 26 children, that's only the beginning. Okay, if you have them, you've got to train them. You've got to show them obedience. You've got to show them Christ. You've got to nurture them. And this is God's way. This is our Savior's way to come and dwell. So maybe one thing, instead of thinking, well, I need a parenting book on how to modify my children's behavior, maybe you need a parenting book on how to modify the parents' behavior, okay? Because the children, not exclusively, but the children are watching how the parents behave with each other, how the husbands treat the wife, how the wife speaks of her husband, how the family talks, what the family does. And so it's like, wait a minute, we talk about Jesus and church and all this stuff, but, and again, as I said this morning, I'm not speaking from the top of Mount Sinai. I'm growing in these things myself. So I'm with you in the struggle. But we need to see them directly, that there's a connection between obedience to what Jesus said and then him coming into our homes. And I would encourage you also on the Word, go to Matthew 13. I know I'm skipping around a lot, but when you're talking about parenting, you're bringing in all kind of principles from Scripture. Matthew 13, you've got to guard the Word in your home. So you need to recognize the Word is what makes us grow. The Word of God is living and powerful. Spread it in your home over everything like gravy. Talk about it all the time. Keep regular times. As your children get older, you're never home in the evening. Daddy's great thing to start taking your children, to get coffee once a week or something, and having early morning time with them in the Word to show them this is for life. And then obey the Word and then guard it. Look into the parable of the soils here. Matthew 13, we won't read it all, but beginning in verse 20 of Matthew 13, but he who received the word on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let's just take this and make it to parents. So, he who hears the word, verse 20, and receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. We might even apply it and say he has no root in Christ. Parents, you are your children's first line. It's great when they're older and they're taking the Lord's Supper. Are you asking your children regularly, how are you doing, honey, with the Savior? Are you walking with Christ? I don't hear you talking about him very much. And granted, sometimes we struggle and we grow up under the shadow of our parents. And maybe we need to be more careful with that, that we give them some room to grow as well. But honey, are you growing in Christ? Do you know the Savior? Because you can hear a lot of things and fill notebooks with sermon notes and home devotional notes. But if you don't have a root that's in Christ, when the hard time comes, you're going to fall away from everything that you believed before. We've seen it before with young people. We've seen it with older people. You know, sit in church, take it in, seem to be doing well. But you wonder, did anybody much check on them? Wait a minute, do you have a root? Do you have a living root in Christ? What does that mean, Daddy? What does that mean, Mama? Well, I mean, son, are you taking your sins to Jesus? Are you asking forgiveness for those sins? Are you walking with the Savior? Are you aware and conscious when you wake up in the morning? And again, this assumes we are, doesn't it, parents? That's why we need books on parent modification. Do you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done? Those kinds of questions. I don't ask them as much as I need to in my own home. But let me encourage you. Don't just sit there and ask questions. And notice here, he also mentions here in terms of guarding the word, verse 22, those who receive the word among thorns. Parents are got to have strong thorn clippers. He who hears the word, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke it. We ought to have some real fruitful young people. Now, some of you are, and I praise God for you. It's very encouraging to see young people grow up, this church, other churches, and they come and they confess Christ, take the Lord's Supper, have children of their own. But understanding, there's thorns you've got to guard against. And parents, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence. Well, until your children are mature and responsible enough to guard their hearts, you have to also guard your children's hearts. Thorns and the cares of the world. Cares of the world, again, you know, that could be all over the place in terms of what that means, but in terms of specific application, but love for the world, immersion in the world's fashion, the world's forms. He mentions the deceitfulness of riches. You could fit every worldly pleasure underneath there. Young people, you ought not to be spending a lot of time gaming. You ought not to be spending a lot of time, you know, in fantasy worlds that keep you away from the real world that God's called you to live in. Okay, those things can choke out the word and make it unfruitful. Now apply that to what we saw at the beginning. Remember here what we're going for. We're not going for everybody lines up like soldiers, nobody makes a move, and everything looks good on the outside. Okay, that's not what we're going for is we want Jesus to come into our homes and dwell with us and beautify us and so that we can bear much fruit. That's what we want. And so if we're going to have that, then we've got to guard against those things that choke out the word. Again, I've said this before, and I don't want to just pick the low-hanging fruit, but these are low-hanging fruit for a reason. Don't give your children phones, okay, until they got responsibility and they've got to drive it. You may think, well, I'm watching it. No, you're not, okay? Your children are much smarter. I can't tell you the number of parents that have said to me, I thought I was watching what my children were watching, but I wasn't watching what my children were watching. How many adult men in here would say, yeah, I'm not really you. What I'm watching too is when Pandora's box is not only openable, but it stays open constantly, okay? And the box is there, and there's no consequences, and it's right there in the palm of your hand, and you've got more technology in your hand than they took to the moon on the Apollo mission. You got to understand, if all of the seductress, Proverbs 7, all of her victims were mighty men, you can be sure that your young men and even the older men are struggling with this unless there's really careful safeguards. And for children, that safeguard parent is you. Okay, because that will come in and choke the word. Ask questions of your sons, daddies. Hey, how'd you spend last night? Are you being the master of your bodily desires as they get older and teenagers talk? You're going to have honest discussions with them about sexuality and their body. Okay, because this is part of guarding, and the same thing with girls. You're going to have to guard the heart. Again, here, we think this is a male problem, but I'm going to be quite honest with you. And the number of women that have come up to me and said, I'm struggling with lust. I'm looking at pornography. Let's face it. This is not a male issue. This was an Eve issue who saw the fruit and said, I want that. You know, we think, oh, women are not turned on by what they see. Says you, okay. Different people struggle with different things. And in our homes, if these things choke out the word, if you know that this cannot coexist with the word, then it's, and which means what? If it can't coexist with it, that means that there's not going to be fruit and there's not going to be Christ in the home. And that's what we want. Remember, that's the goal here. The goal is not, I better do what he says or I'm going to get in trouble. That is not the goal, okay? The goal is we want Christ in our homes. We want John 14, 21 through 23 to be true in our own lives and in our family. Lord Jesus, come in and make your abode with us. And so we want your word and we want to abide in it and we want to keep it. Guard your home. I remember I went to a fundamentalist Baptist high school. Some good there, but I'll never forget every year. They had this guy come through for the high schoolers. His name was Sketch Erickson. Some of you may have heard of him. This is really dating me, but he would come through and he would critique like pop music that everybody was listening to. And of course, everybody was laughing at him. I laughed at him too. It's like, this guy's just giving us the opportunity to listen to the radio in chapel. I mean, what's and he's playing and critiquing all these songs and showing. But you know, it's interesting. Saul, when his soul is disturbed, he wants music and noise to drown it out. When David's soul is disturbed, he turns to the Lord in prayer. He does not turn to music. Now, I love music, so but please understand what I'm saying here. We need to be really, really careful, because if the music was bad in the 70s with Styx and Foreigner and some of the stuff that, you know, that they... What we have today is pornography set to a tempo. And so you cannot listen to that, young people. My little forays, 5, 10 minutes at a time, just to know what's being sung. You cannot listen to that and God's word bear fruit in your life. It will not happen. Jesus will not have anything to do with that. So you need to be really, really careful that we guard. Okay, and again, that's why I went to this passage in Matthew 13. Parents, you're responsible. Honey, what you listening to? Son, what you looking at? Oh, Daddy, no, I want to know. What are you listening to? What are you looking at? Oh, Daddy, you're being so old-fashioned. No. Okay, here, don't take your children's no for an answer. I want to know what you're listening to because I love you. I want to know what you're looking at. I want to know how you're spending time. I want to know because I am responsible while you're in my home to get rid of those cares and those things that choke out the word as much as possible. Again, why? Because we want Jesus to come and dwell with us by his Holy Spirit. Now, I know our time is running out here. Let me just make one other thing about the word, and then we'll look at a second point just briefly. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. There's great hope in this. I want to return now at the end here of abiding in Jesus' word with young and old bearing fruit. If you're a young person, we have high aspirations for you. And I hope you have high aspirations for yourself. 2 Timothy 3:15 would be a good example of this. Verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we talked a lot about parents. Let me speak to the young people for just a second. When God gives you the opportunity, like he's given you, to hear his word from your youth, again here, God loves you. If he, and we think about the Bible illiteracy in our culture and the abuse, the spiritual abuse that parents lay out on children by not giving them God's word. And yet here is an example, and this is talking about Timothy and his mother Lois and grandmother Eunice, or maybe the other way around, I always get those mixed up. But his mother and his grandmother We're teaching him the scriptures from his youth. Mamas, daddies, from your youth, from your children's youth, you read them the scriptures. And notice, children, why do I need to listen to this? Because I know that who I've learned them from. Yeah, but there's other voices out there now. You get 18, 20, 25, you start, oh, there's other voices though. I mean, but remember who your mom and dad are. Okay, your mom and dad are probably, until you get married, the only two people, well, there may be a few others, but the main two people and the only two you can be absolutely certain of, that if a train is coming on the railroad tracks and it's you or them, they will take a locomotive in the mouth to push you off the railroad tracks. And parents, this even becomes more powerful if you're also living those scriptures in your own life and you're crying out to God for mercy. By the way, you might say, well, that's just the problem. Chris, I'm not living out those scriptures, but that's why we have a Savior. Don't despair. You might think, I don't even know where to start. Just get started by asking the Lord Jesus to forgive you and to help you and crack open 2 Timothy 3 and just read it and pray it, because we don't serve a Savior who waits for you to measure up to Him before He helps you. He helps those who are on the ground groveling for help. Remember where He suffered. He suffered outside the camp where the lepers are, where the blind people are. He came to seek and save the lost. So don't say, well, I'm too far, I can't. You may not can, but Jesus Christ can save and bring you. And notice here the hope. Parents, as you live these things out, God says of you, as the apostle here says, hey, children, young people, remember who's told these things to you. Remember your parents who have taught you these things from your childhood, and you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. You don't have any friends other than friends who also teach you the scriptures who are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ. Let me encourage you, young people, look in 1 John 2:14. Let me encourage you to take seriously reading scripture for yourself, praying scripture. Get with your parents sometime this week and say, Mom, Dad, help me to get, where should I begin reading the Bible? I don't desire God's word. Let's just start there. I don't desire God's word. Maybe some of you think, I hear what you're saying, but I don't want to read the Bible. What you're talking about is beyond me. No, it's not. You open up, tomorrow is the 28th. Take three verses in Psalm 28 and just start them in the morning, pray over them, think about them, meditate on them. If you have time, write them on an index card, take them with you. But above all, tell the Lord Jesus, Lord, I don't have a desire for your word. Can you imagine how much different Peter's destiny would have been that night? If instead of saying, no, I can do this, he just said, Lord, I'm not listening to you, and I don't have a heart that wants to listen to you, and what you're telling me about myself is too embarrassing, and I don't want to really go through this conviction. Young people, this is the Savior we have. He's honest. He doesn't say, I cannot believe you don't want to read my Bible for 6 hours a day. I'm never going to have anything to do with you ever again. That's not who He is. He's a Savior who knows our weaknesses and our frailties and our failures. And if you come to Him and say, Lord, and maybe you're 16 and you're a young girl here tonight and you just don't even know where to begin. Go to Jesus and tell Him, I don't know where to begin. I've been thinking my own thoughts and I've gotten messed up in some things. What do I do? Go to the Savior. Help me, Lord. Why? 1 John 2:14, another great verse. I gave one to the parents earlier. Here's one for parents and young people to memorize. 1 John 2:14, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. All right, we've got a lot of young men. And I praise God for you, and I pray for you by name just about every day, and young girls too. But please understand, the forces that are aligned against you, you cannot conquer. You are not strong enough. But there is one who is strong enough, and that is the living Savior. And as you abide in His Word, notice the promise, you are strong, the Word of God dwells in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So I'll predict your future. I'm not an astrologer. I don't have a black hat with stars on it, okay? But I can predict your future. Because if you take seriously, I need to be in God's Word. I need to love God's Word. I don't have a master plan. A lot of times when we pick up the Bible, it's so big. Just start with the Gospel of John. Start with the Gospel of Matthew and just read a little bit and ask the Lord Jesus to open your heart. Why? Because I want Jesus to come and walk with me. Because I want His Word to bear fruit in my life. And young people, I hate to say it, but because you came to church tonight and heard this sermon, you're accountable for what you do with the Word this week. Even more so than you were before. Because God's calling you and saying, abide in my Word and you will overcome lust, pornography, making a really bad marriage decision, being silly and giddy about girls being silly and giddy about boys, worrying about, I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to be married. Because if I'm walking with the Savior and He's my shepherd and His Word abides in me, if that's His will for my life to have a spouse, good night. Nobody ever yet messed up Jesus' plan. I just need to walk with Him and have His Word abide in me like Jesus. 12 years old. You got any 12-year-olds in here tonight? He's in the temple. He's asking questions about God's Word. Young people, I ask you this in love. When's the last time you cared enough at family worship and you listened enough to ask good questions? Do you care? I hope you care. I'm not accusing you of not caring. But again, it's like we said this morning, you're going to follow your viscera. You're going to follow your gut. So if you find that you've got a gut and all you want is cotton candy and you have no interest in broccoli, okay, and you have no interest in healthy food and fruit, but you love M&Ms and Reese's and cotton candy, and you're going to be, Lord Jesus, I need a new gut. Would you please give me new desires so that 1 John 2:14 can be true in me? We've lost our share of young men over the years, at least for a while. I don't believe their story's finished yet because I trust God's covenant. But I tell you, in every single case, every single, and young girls too, every single case, every single case, when I said, read the Bible, meditate on the Bible, memorize the Bible, what came across them was, da, 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 da. I'm going to listen to me. I'm going to do what I want to do. And the Lord says, particularly with young people, and I'm just being brutally honest with you here, you're not like the young people who have never been exposed to the Word. You've heard the gospel. And if you turn away from it, God's got trap doors. And He's got more trap doors. Because you grew up and you heard the everlasting gospel. Do you see, parents, what a huge, huge, huge responsibility. It's not just, I need to be teaching more. You need to be loving the Savior more. You need to be your children seeing you walk in obedience and faith. And your words, your attitudes toward your spouse, your attitudes toward them, that you correct them not with anger, but with love and with humility. And we'll have to talk more about the next one another time. That was it. But why? Because I want my children to know the Savior in fulfillment of God's promise that I'll be a God to you and to your children after you. And there's one way. The Word of God, loved, kept. Jesus said, abide in my Word. My words abide in you. You will bear much fruit. Let's pray for each other on this. Young people, don't think, please understand. I've been where you are. I heard preachers talk about reading the Bible, and it wasn't until I was scared by how strong I saw sin was that I said, you know what? I don't have a shield to protect myself from this. I don't have a sword that's strong enough to beat off the wicked one. And that's when I got serious. By God's grace, He didn't have to give me that grace. And I'm praying for that grace for each of you, young and old, the young daughters as well. We'll talk more about you in another context. So don't worry, we're going to talk about you too. But to remember here, I need to abide in God's Word. It is my shield. It is the way I walk with Christ to fulfill that promise that I will dwell with you. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your Word. We want to grow in it. We want to know it because we want you. We're not trying to be seminary professors. We're trying to be Christians who follow the Lamb wherever He leads. And we want to bear fruit in our lives as your Word abides in us. Help us, O Lord, as parents to take seriously the fruit of the Word of God, not only in our lives, but in our families' lives, and to use that Word and to sow and to reap in faith and in hope and in trust that Your Word will never return to You fruitless. Oh, Lord, please help us. Give our young people, give them a desire for You, oh, Lord, in remembrance of Your holy covenant. Help them. Lord, we rejoice that the world's not stronger than You are, Lord Jesus. The devil's not stronger than the Bible. And that we have great, great hope of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May Your Word bear much fruit in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.